Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Back now to the problems of securing accommodation for people who arrive here to seek asylum. And six new accommodation centres are set to be acquired by government. Each of those units may house between 450 and 600 people. Already there's a two-year lease in place at the City West Hotel in Dublin. That serves as a reception centre and can accommodate up to 2,000 people. It looks as though that model will now be replicated as the government looks to take a more prominent role in the running of these centres, and this comes as the tourism sector has raised the impact of the housing of refugees in hotel and guest houses that is having on their industry. Well, I'm joined now by Hugh O'Connell, who's Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Independent, and also Elena Fitzgerald Kane, who's Chair of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation. Hugh, I'll start with you and these reports we're seeing about these centres. You were writing about them yourself at the weekend in the Sunday Independent. What sort of timeline are we looking at? How soon could we see them come into operation?
Well, the hope within government is that they can get them up and running by this summer at the earliest if possible, at least some of them anyway. I mean, a lot of it depends on what buildings and where these buildings are and what sort of condition they are in and what sort of work needs to be done to ensure that they're habitable and can be used to house, as you say, between 450 and 600 asylum seekers or refugees. So this is something that Roderick O'Gorman, the Integration Minister, is going to bring the bones, I think, of a memo to a cabinet subcommittee at some point this week, with a view then to bringing a final memo to cabinet, to the full cabinet at some point, mm-hmm. either next week or the week after that. And then once the decision is taken, the aim is that the Department of Integration is going to get to work on a procurement process. They haven't identified potential locations for these sites, and obviously there's a degree of sensitivity around that, given the arson attacks that have taken place, I think three already this year, on properties that had been slated for housing asylum seekers. So there is a bit of sensitivity around all of that. But as you said in your intro there, the model is sort of what's happening in City West at the moment, where up to 2,000 people can be catered for. So the idea is to roll out up to six more centres of that kind of shape and size, not necessarily size, but certainly of that kind of ilk, with a view to avoiding the kinds of situations that are emerging in Roscrea, for example, where hotels are being leased and that's causing significant concerns within small communities.
Okay, so the hope is that if you go down this road, then you avoid that sort of conflict with communities that we've seen in recent weeks and months.
Yeah, that's the intention, really, is to move away from this sort of crisis management situation whereby the Department of Integration is scrambling around for whatever it can get, private accommodation providers coming in and saying, well, we have this hotel or this property here. And no real cognizance, I think, being paid to the impact that's having on communities within that area. Racket Hall was a very important amenity for the people of Roscrea, and I think that has led to the protests outside of there. Obviously there were some elements of that which were more maligned, but I think the state wants, or the government rather, wants to move away from that situation of inflaming tensions within local communities by getting more permanent infrastructure in place.
Mm-hmm. So let's look too as well about this plan from the Department of Justice to make changes to the safe countries of origin list. Will you explain all of that to us, how it might work and how it's working currently?
Yeah, so at the moment there's a list of safe countries of origin, which are countries where it can be shown that there's generally no risk of persecution or torture or inhumane or degrading treatment of a person. So generally people coming from these countries are Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Georgia, Kosovo, Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia and South Africa. Generally, it's very hard for people coming from these countries to claim refugee status, unless they have very unique personal circumstances. And we heard last year, for example, in July, that there had been a 70% fall in the number of international protection applicants arriving into Ireland from these countries since the previous November 2022. So the intention, I think, is to add more countries to this list. And in doing so, the hope is that you would reduce then the number of asylum seekers coming into the country in the first place, mm-hmm. because people who arrive into the country from the countries on this list, their applications are processed very, very quickly, much more quickly than people arriving from other countries. And so it's kind of, and usually it's difficult for them, almost impossible to gain refugee status. So usually it effectively acts as a disincentive to these people to come here in the first place. But so the hope is that by adding countries to this list, fewer people would come.
Okay, so adding countries and removing countries, given the way world events are at the moment, you know,
exactly,
things could change
so,
very quickly.
So some countries may also be removed as well, but I think, you know, some people I've spoken to in government about this have kind of said it's more likely that, you know, you have more countries added than you would have countries taken off, for example.
You're also reporting about issues raised around spare capacity in the current system. Now, that's scarcely believable to most people when they've seen what's played out over the last number of weeks in particular. What is happening there?
Yeah, so an issue seems to be emerging, and the Independent TD, Michael McNamara, the TD for Clare, was writing about this in the Sunday Independent yesterday. In some of the 200 accommodation centres that the government has procured over the last 2 years, which are housing around 26,000 people nationwide, there is an issue where a hotel might have, just to give it an example, this is not necessarily to be taken as read, but there's a hotel that might have capacity for 50 people, but there might only be 30 people in there. So that creates a situation where there might be 20 beds spare. So Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has indicated that there'll be some sort of audit around this, about spare capacity within the system. Now, the Department of Integration has pointed out that, you know, in some situations there might be a six-bed room, for example, for a family, but that might only be occupied by a five-member family.
Okay.
So you'd have one spare bed in that room. But, I mean, that realistically wouldn't be available. It wouldn't be spare necessarily for practical purposes. But certainly, I think, you know, that this idea of an audit is something that the Taoiseach is speaking about. And usually when the Taoiseach speaks about such things, they generally have to be acted upon from within the government system. So I'd expect that to take place as part of the government's efforts to try and get on top of this issue.
Hugh, thank you very much. Hugh O'Connell there from the Irish Independent. And as I said, I have Elena Fitzgerald-Kane with us as well, Chair of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation. And the tourism sector, your sector, Elena, has been raising the impact the housing of refugees in hotels and guest houses is having on your industry. So explain to us what that impact is.
Yeah, I suppose, Claire, good morning to you and your listeners. Over the last 18 months, I suppose, ITEC, the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, have put forward the fact that, you know, the state is over-reliant on tourism accommodation in terms of housing refugees. Now, look, first and foremost, government have a very difficult job to do. And we fully appreciate that there is, you know, humanitarian crisis there. But as it stands right now, 20% of all tourism beds across the country, so not just hotels, but other types of tourism beds, are all contracted to the state. Now, if you take Clare, for example, 33% of the beds there are contracted. And there are lots of towns and villages across the country where there is limited tourism activity as a result of it. Now, I suppose the big picture, Clare, is Fall to Ireland have estimated that would have, I suppose, a 1.1 billion hit to the economy. And you'd ask yourself, how is that? But actually, the statistics show that for every euro spent by tourists and accommodation, it results in €2.15 in ancillary spend. Mm. And you can imagine if you took 20% of all the cranes out of the country, you know, where would that leave construction or tractors in terms of agriculture? So the impact of it is huge.
Okay, but on the other side of this, you have potentially a whole new workforce, and we've heard about labour shortages in the sector, and we now have those seeking international protection being allowed to work after 6 months. Ukrainians are allowed to work immediately. Is that having an impact? Are your members hiring from that workforce?
It is having an impact, but it's probably much smaller than what you would think, Claire. The last figure that I had was in the very low percentiles. And it's interesting because there's 20,000 vacancies in the tourism sector as it stands at the moment. Now, you know, I suppose you have to take, I suppose, people who are fleeing conflict. Some are coming from very traumatised situations. Others might be from areas that are less exposed, but they may not have the language skills or indeed the other skills. So it's not like everybody who comes into this country is ready-made in terms of coming into the workforce and integrating in. You know, there's lots of women and children, you know, people who are more in senior age. But there are, you know, I suppose many that have become very much part and parcel of, you know, the workforce that you're going to see in Irish tourism and are making a very solid impact. But equally, you can't just migrate people across in and you know, fix that void, or, you know, in the case of tourism, the 20,000 vacancies that are still there.
Can I talk about what happened in Ross Grey? Because last week, this idea of a community-run hotel backed by the state was floated and seemed to be accepted by the government. Is that a concern for your industry? This is a private business model, the hotel industry. But now, do we have this strange new creature entering the fray, a community-run hotel backed by the state? Are you worried about that?
So, Claire, I never heard the word community hotel before last week, even though there is a community hotel up in Monaghan. And so my understanding is that came out of the Good Friday Agreement and, you know, very much part of the community. Now, it doesn't seem to have the extended range of services that you'd find in other regional hotels. So, you know, I suppose some of the argument that was put forward, and not that there is any, I suppose, way that you can condone, you know, some of the scenes that we've seen there. But some of the arguments that were put forward is, look, where do you go now if you have a funeral lunch, etc.? I think I'd be surprised if the state entered in it. You know, I suppose they'd have a full understanding of the many challenges that are in tourism and in terms of, you know, the escalating costs and the challenges that we face because there aren't enough people available to fill the positions and that. But it would be a surprising move. I suppose regional hoteliers, where you have people that are, you know, the lifeblood of the community, and we saw that in terms of, you know, hosting local meetings and all the other events, you'd like to see that in local ownership, or certainly, you know, ownership where there's a community feel to it. And I suppose if that's what the state feels that they can do, it's a learning, I suppose, exercise for everybody, but it would be a very interesting transition, and I could never imagine that that would become the mainstay of, you know, hotels across the length and breadth of the country.
We'll see how it works if it comes to pass. Elena Fitzgerald-Kane, thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. Now, Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister, is facing a possible defeat in the House of Lords today over that controversial Rwanda deportation plan. We're going to get the latest on that next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.